After more than 20 years outside every Blues home game, St. Louis Game Time is bringing the coverage to you. It's almost always never easy, but this is Game Time AM with Brad Lee and Jeff Jones on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Game Time AM. Andy there, the introduction. He's still a voice in our show. I'm Brad. That's Jeff over there. We kind of look like we're a little groggy this morning.
Well, I had a late night last night. I did not crawl into bed until 10, is pretty late for me.
I think I saw midnight. So
why? Why would you do that?
The kids, we were out playing.
Your kids
Pokemon.
Are in school. They're not out until midnight.
No, they're not. But then, there's like laundry to do and stuff to pick up.
Do it during the day.
Yeah, we do that too. Trust me. Hey, there's Matt Davis across the table. Good morning, Matt.
Hello.
You understand about late night with a family sometimes, right?
No, I don't.
You got a little baby.
Yeah. Well, I sleep when I can.
Yeah.
But after 8 o'clock, my eyes are open, but I'm a zombie. I'm not there.
Yeah, that's like, look, I don't have kids, but I grew up in a house where kids lived. Like, my sister and I were kids, and my dad was in bed at like 8:30 every night.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of a night owl.
That's what I'm saying. You're doing this to yourself.
Probably. Hey, speaking of, we have not made a big deal that that Matt Davis added someone to the family, so I'm going to lift this up. And hand this over.
Uh-oh.
There's a little gift bag I'm handing over there to Matt Davis.
Yeah, it's Brad.
So he's searching through it.
Awesome.
So pull those out. They are super soft.
Oh, these are for the baby.
Yeah.
Oh.
They weren't going to be for you.
I thought it was for me.
You.
Those are for the baby.
I'm not disappointed.
As Matt pulls a roll of pink out of a bag and goes, oh, it's for the baby.
Nice.
There's some soft baby blankets. I got to tell you, they're like the softest baby blankets.
They feel pretty soft.
Yeah.
I might open one up and drape it around me and see how it feels.
You're probably like,
you turn the air down.
You're like 48 hours from having that blanket just covered in vomit all over your chest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those work well for that or wrapping the baby up.
That is awesome.
You know, my 4-year-old, he's still, whenever he was, old enough to grab the blanket, he'd grab the corner. And there'd just be a little bit of the blanket sticking out, one of those kinds of blankets. And he takes it and he rubs it on the tip of his nose, and he falls asleep in 30 seconds.
Oh, wow.
He still does it when he's 4 now.
That's
so
cool.
Basically, it's like, he's like, hey, where's my blanket? I'm like, okay, right here. He's okay. And so we always tell him, hey, grab a corner. And when he grabs a corner, he's going to be like knocked out in like a minute, 2 minutes.
Wow.
That's useful for now, but you have to make sure you get that out of him by the time that he's like 10 or 12 and he's going to school. Right.
Before it gets weird.
Right. Or, before
sleepovers.
Before his friends, right, are like tracking him down like in the hallways at school, like holding him against the locker, like blanket rub, and then he's down on the floor.
That's pretty funny. I'll have to tell him that one. So
my daughter does kind of the same thing right now.
Yeah.
She, but she's trying to eat her blanket. Okay. Well, she's. Yeah. Trying to suckle,
teach
and
their own.
She gets the blanket, and then she's just like trying to go to town on it. Like, no, baby, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. So, congratulations. Hopefully you're getting a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
My sister had the baby now. I guess it's been about a month and a half ago, and made the mistake of showing my nephew, who is not quite 3, right after the baby came home from the hospital, that sometimes the baby will suck on your finger if you put your finger in the mouth. Well, my nephew, by being the virtue of being not quite 3, every time he hears the baby now, that's his solution. He just sprints and tries to like jam his fingers in.
Oh my God.
For whatever reason, that was like the permanent lesson that he took from how to care for the baby. So
that's
now,
terrifying.
Now, right. So now he has to like retrain, like, no, don't do that ever again.
This one finger is not enough, so I'm going to stick my whole hand in there.
I mean, right, that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
I get so paranoid with that. Now, I saw one of the nurses at the hospital did that, and she had a glove on and let the baby use her finger to soothe her while they were checking her out or whatever. I'm so paranoid about that.
But
my
like,
fingers don't go anywhere near that baby's mouth.
Like,
I
you're
don't
afraid
let,
that the baby's going to, like, choke on your finger?
I don't
finger?
Know what it is. Like, germs on hands in the baby's mouth or choking on it or something. It's just all around the whole situation. I'm just like, nope, no fingers.
I mean, I don't have kids, so again, perspective changes. I don't know. I'm not real, like, I'm not real germ shy. Like, I just figured, you know.
I usually am not.
It's got to be decent. Like, it can't be that bad. Whatever. I guess there could be things on my hands that I would not want in a baby's mouth. However, I mean, if you're holding a baby, you're usually like washing your hands beforehand, right?
Yeah, but then what if there's soap residue? You got to rinse really well, because if your hands smell like soap, then there's got to be some soap left behind.
I think in order to keep this in perspective, here's what you have to remember. After the baby was born, you know how everything else just whoosh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
No,
so that's,
I don't know.
Well, but that happens, right? So the baby is born, and then, everything else just sort of whoosh.
Yeah. I've never experienced that type of type of situation.
Well, the whoosh is what the child had lived in for the 10 prior months.
Right.
And the whoosh. Lord knows what
when
that
you have
was.
A C-section, I don't think there's a whoosh.
Well, no, I guess not. I guess that's true.
My wife's had 3 C-sections now, so there's never been a whoosh. I'm still unfamiliar.
We did that twice.
You didn't have to watch the video?
Oh, no, I would never.
Oh.
I'm a weak stomach.
I am too.
I can't handle that kind of stuff.
I have the stereotypical memory of being in high school and like having my head buried in the desk and peeking up just in time to see the crowning on the video and then being like, whoop, and then right back down. I got pretty lucky, though, because when I took health in high school, the health teacher was the baseball coach, because of course it was, and there was a baseball player in my class, right? And so every time an embarrassing word had to be said out loud, he would call exclusively on the baseball player to make him do it, which was funny, but spared everyone else from ever having to say penis out loud in a high school health class.
That's pretty funny. This is kid number 3. I tell my friends when they were having their first kid, or anybody I'm, you know, coworkers or whatever with, I always say, you know, the most interesting thing that you will experience after the kid arrives and you're at home is that your level of being grossed out moves.
That makes sense to me.
That at some point you're going to have to clean something up or deal with the situation. And you're like, I could be grossed out right now. And probably a month ago, I would have been really grossed out. Like, I probably would have left the room.
Right.
But this is my kid's mess, and I have to deal with it. So I guess I just have to do it.
You know, you say that, and there's a phrase that pops into my head.
Yeah?
And I think it's radio friendly. It is. It's clinical.
All right.
And I don't even need to go into detail on it. And here is the phrase.
Yeah?
Digital removal.
Okay.
I'm just like that. When you talk about gross, disgusting things with children, that is the phrase that pops into my head.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, I've been puked on, peed on, and pooped on.
Oh, that's so what I'm like. I've heard that sometimes, like, of a child who's very young can't pass.
Uh-huh.
You have to digitally.
Oh, okay, right, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They wanted to do that to my daughter, and it didn't have to happen.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah,
it is. And if you're wondering what the tie-in is, from baby stuff and dirty stuff, I don't know.
Are you saying the Penguins Senators game last night?
Well, so in my head there was a transition there to Phil Kessel and Evgeny Malkin yelling at each other on the bench for the entire first period, and I didn't quite get there smoothly. But just know that in my head, that's how I had that planned.
So I 1-0 Pittsburgh win last night.
And boy, was it a barn burner.
Not really.
No, it was not.
It was The Senators are a boring team, supposedly, and it was a boring game. There was not a lot of excitement.
They don't have a lot of skill, so they play a 1-4 trap, and the game is not fun.
Last 10 minutes of the game ratcheted up, because both teams didn't want to go to overtime, and Penguins score. Phil Kessel, his 6th of the playoffs, 13:05 in, so just under 7 minutes to play. And something from the text line?
We're not talking about it on the air. We'll talk about it off the air.
Okay.
Let's just say that an egg that I laid long ago has finally blossomed into a beautiful flower.
Eggs hatch flowers? I don't
think accurate. A seed. Perhaps a seed that I planted.
You planted. Okay, fair enough.
The egg has hatched. The seed has bloomed.
Okay, sure.
Godzilla's rampaging through the streets.
And it is glorious.
All right, fair enough. So Phil Kessel. Now, Malkin is the guy who makes the play happen. His 14th assist of the playoffs, by the way. 14 assists.
Well, did you see the footage from earlier in the game when they were on the bench just berating each other?
So tell me about that.
Early in the game, there is some pretty clear frustration on behalf of the Penguins because they just can't get through the trap that Ottawa has set up. And their neutral zone play in particular was impeded both by the Senators and by themselves. There were a couple of plays where Malkin and Kessel collided on their way through the neutral zone. And they had shots of them, and to his credit, Pierre was the first guy that noticed this, and then had the cameras roll over there of Kessel and Malkin just screaming at each other on the bench. I mean, just laying into each other back and forth. And it got to the point where, like, Rick Tocchet has his hands around Phil Kessel and is in his ear, and Mike Sullivan's got Malkin and is in his ear, and they're like, okay, please don't kill each other. We're trying to win a hockey game. And lo and behold, they figure it out. They sort it out, and they end up combining for the game-winning goal.
Wow. So, yeah, the headline on our friend Greg Wyshynski's website, Puck Daddy, Pittsburgh Penguins get a kick out of angry Phil Kessel.
Yeah. Phil was fired up last night.
So
somebody done stole his cheeseburger.
Here's what Mike Sullivan said after the game. I love that about the guy. Yeah, he's always like that. I think our players get a kick out of him, quite honestly. He's a guy that he's a vocal guy. He's an emotional guy, and he's all in. He wants to win. So when he comes back to the bench, if he thinks he wanted a puck or he was open, he lets a player know, hey, give it to him. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I mean, believe me, he let him know last night.
So Kessel talked to reporters after the game. He says, you know, obviously it's a tight game and there's a lot of emotion. It's the third round and we want to win, Kessel said to Sportsnet after the game when asked about his outburst. And then if you go to our friend Wyshynski's blog, there's video of him extremely upset during the game on the bench. So you might want to check that out. Yeah, I get being emotional and wanting it. Marc-Andre Fleury says, when Phil is emotional in the game, he's into it and he's a threat out there. And again tonight, he came up big for us. But there was kind of a big disparity between a first period emotional outburst and scoring with just under 7 minutes to play in the third period.
Yeah.
So I think basically they're like, oh, hey, he scored the game winner. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever he wants to say on the bench.
Basically, yeah. How do we backtrack this and figure out what makes it okay that Phil Kessel just blew up at Kenny Malkin?
Yeah. So, Sullivan finishes. He says, I have no problem with that. I don't think our team has any problem with that. I think that's how we make progress. That's how we come together as a team, by yelling at each other. I think it brings energy to our bench, and for me, that's a good thing. It tells me that we have a bunch of guys that are invested and want to win. Okay, yep. Fine.
So
if they lose, then it's a distraction, right?
Of course. Dion Phaneuf last night, did you see him go into full Scott Stevens mode?
No, what did he do?
He completely erased Brian Rust on a hit that, I mean, I guess it's clean because he ended up not being penalized for it, and I didn't see a whole lot of consternation afterward. He had both skates on the ice, had the arm tucked in, it was all shoulder. But he drove straight through Brian Rust's head and just annihilated him.
There's actually a video of that. Dion Phaneuf levels Brian Rust with huge hits.
And it was reminiscent of the hit that that Stevens laid on Paul Kariya in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2004 or 2003 rather. Sorry, it was almost identical to that hit. And actually, as I'm going now to look at the time on ice chart. I don't believe that Brian Rust returned to the game after that hit.
Did you see who also exited the game for the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Justin Schultz.
Yeah. Are they going to have enough defensemen to finish the series?
That's going to be a challenge. Yeah, Brian Rust indeed did not return to the game. They're pretty beat up at this point. And I'm going to show you this picture because this is good radio. I believe they call this the fencing response, right? I mean, that is...
Skates up.
Skates up, arms out in front of him. He reached for his head immediately afterward. I mean, it was like textbook display of immediate concussion symptoms. And so I don't think you should count on Brian Rust being back anytime soon. And
no.
I mean, Phaneuf just leveled him. Just
was he penalized on the play?
He was not.
Okay.
It was a play that confused me because to my understanding, even if everything else about the hit is clean, if the primary point of contact is the head, it should be a penalty.
You would think.
And it was not. It was shoulder to yap. Rust had his head down and just got wiped out.
So midway through the first period, Ottawa's Mike Hoffman, who I think is underratedly big and strong.
Yeah.
Not too many people talk about his size and strength and what he can do on the ice. He collided with Justin Schultz at the end boards, driving Schultz's shoulder into the glass and heavy boards, and he kind of basically crumpled there and left the game, did not return. He had 51 points this year in 78 games during the regular season. The Penguins are currently playing without defenseman Trevor Daly, who's been out since Game 7 of the second round. Pittsburgh is also without Chris Letang because of a neck injury, not expected to return during the playoffs. So they're now down, possibly, if this shoulder injury is serious, they're down three defensemen.
They're giving substantial minutes to Chad Ruhwedel, who was not good enough to stick with the Sabres.
Wait, Chad who?
Ruhwedel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Not good enough to be the Sabres' number five, and yet he is a guy who's carrying playoff minutes.
Looks like he had a pretty decent game, though, at least from a physical perspective. He had seven hits.
No, and he
four
is,
shots on goal.
He's a fine, look, he's a fine Bortuzzo-type physical defenseman.
For a no-name, he did pretty well.
So, by the way, who does this make the Pittsburgh Penguins' number one defenseman?
I don't know who.
Oh.
Ian Cole? Oh, yes.
Without looking, because Matt's got the TOI pulled up right now, I assume Ian Cole probably led Pittsburgh's defense in time on ice last night. He probably played, 27, 28 minutes?
No, Ian Cole played 20 minutes.
Okay.
Is it Brian or Brad Dumoulin?
Brian Dumoulin.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he had 26 minutes, and then Ron Hainsey came in second with 24.
This is Ron Hainsey's first playoff run. He had 15 years in the league and never made the playoffs before this season, and so Ron Hainsey is getting the full experience for sure. But
well, and then Olimata.
Oh, yeah, Olimata.
Yes.
He had 22 and a half.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Ian Cole is in a really important position for that team. Ian Cole got the Pierre interview last night before the game started. He was the guy.
Have fun out there.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen Ian Cole recently?
No.
Have you not seen the massive ginger beard he has now?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is him.
Yeah, that's him.
I just saw this picture, and I was like, is that guy's face on Ian Cole?
Yeah,
page?
That's Ian Cole. He is not rocking the McLemore look right now. He has like this...
Wait, give it a month.
And honestly, that picture that Matt has pulled up right now doesn't even do justice his current fullness of beard. I mean, it is thick.
Phil Kessel, he got bushy really fast.
Which is a shame because he's super bald.
So all the hairs on the
everything from the sideburns down is going all right. But.
Matt Davis gives a frown and a shake of the head.
Mm-hmm. I can't grow facial hair or head hair. So that's disappointing.
And I had to go and get a haircut yesterday.
I've needed a haircut for weeks. Did you just say you could have gotten your ears lowered?
I said I went to get my ears lowered. Yeah.
That's something my dad says.
What is that?
When you get a haircut, you get your ears lowered.
Okay. Yeah, my dad, if he sees that you got a haircut, he'll say, did you get a haircut or did you get your ears
because,
lowered?
Because, if your hair is long, it covers your ears. And so instead of getting the hair cut, the ears went down.
Right. That's silly.
Yeah. So the game-winning goal, I don't know if you saw it when it happened.
It was during Saul, so I did not.
Yeah. So it was hard to get through the neutral zone. Evgeny Malkin was on the left wing along the boards, basically had to just bull rush his way across the blue line. There's a Senators forward coming at him. He passes the puck between the Senator player's legs. It was a nutmeg if you're a soccer aficionado. And then Kessel basically just kind of takes a step in and puts a wrister, I believe. Just barely past the outstretched skate and glove hand of Craig Anderson. I mean, he didn't have much to shoot at, and he just put it in. And then at the end of the game, they pulled the goaltender with about 2 minutes to play. There was some face-offs and stuff, and they actually had to put him back out. And then the final minute, there was almost a line brawl. I mean, everybody came together on the ice. And not everybody dropped the gloves. There were a lot of sticks in the air and people grabbing gloves on.
That's the requisite point in the series, right? End of game two.
True. There was a little more to it. I think they finally are under each other's skins now, and it might be a little bit more intense series going forward. There is a lot of talk, though, if you listen to Canadian media. The question is, if you're Canadian, do you root for the Ottawa Senators because they're the last Canadian team in the playoffs?
If you listen to the Prime Minister, the answer is yes.
Yeah, but if you're down here in America and you're not living in America's hat, America's attic, whatever you want to call Canada, I don't think we have a easy way to relate because it's not like, if the Phillies are playing the Toronto Blue Jays in the World Series like in the 90s, did America get behind Philadelphia? I don't think so.
I don't know. I was six.
Yeah, well, I remember I was in college. Leave me alone. I don't think the United States sporting public got behind the American team to beat the Canadian team. I get it, though. It's a little bit different in that hockey is kind of Canada's game, unless you count lacrosse. So, you know, it's a point of pride. And,
well, and they have
the last Canadian team to win. Do you remember who?
Montreal Canadiens, 1993.
That's been a long
24 years.
Time.
Well, and we talked about that. That's the curse of the Blue Jays.
Yeah. So, do you have any? I would feel weird if I lived in Edmonton, if I lived in Toronto, especially in Toronto. If I lived somewhere else in
Ontario.
Yeah,
because there's also there's a rivalry between Toronto and Montreal. And
right.
Ottawa. That's the whole thing.
If you live somewhere else in Ontario and you don't regularly root for Ottawa, I don't think there's any way you could root for Ottawa. It's like if Chicago was playing the Canadiens.
Right.
Would we root for Chicago?
Well, and if you're a Torontonian, there is no winning in this series because either Phaneuf or Phil Kessel is going to the Stanley Cup final.
Ooh.
And so either one is going to put a dagger in you.
Yeah, that's no good. I just think it's
weird. The guys that the Leafs had to trade because they were losers. They were never going to lead the Leafs to the playoffs. They were never going to lead the Leafs to the promised land. The promised land, yeah. One of the two of them is going to be in the finals, and Phil Kessel already has a ring.
Yeah, that's...
So I guess it's for the Penguins, right? Because that's like Phil's already done the damage, and so it can't hurt that bad.
Yeah, it's ripping the Band-Aid off at the
right.
same time. All right, you're listening to Game Time AM here in 5.9 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2, streaming live at InsideSL.com. If you've missed any of our episodes where we've talked about playoff hockey or some Blues stuff, we'll get into the Blues stuff. Hey, let's kind of plan the show a little bit. The Cardinals didn't play yesterday. There's just one hockey game.
Yeah.
I kind of thought maybe we could get into how rough the free agent market is going to be this summer.
Okay. I mean, I don't... Okay. So here's the thing. I don't necessarily... Well, and we'll tease it, I guess. I don't necessarily agree that it is going to be that rough.
Well, let's...
I just think the Blues aren't going to be a part of it.
Well, right. That... Okay. I think we could at least look at what the market is, and if the Blues could somehow free some cap space up, what they would be looking at. I do agree that if the Blues are doing anything this summer to be aggressive, there has to be some trading involved.
Yes, I do. I got one name on my UFA list, but otherwise.
Okay, that's fair.
I got one, too.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do that in a couple minutes. So, let's see. So, a couple stats real quick from Senators Penguins last night. Senators only got 23 shots on net. The Penguins, 29. Face-off number dominated by Pittsburgh, 62%. Each team had one power play. Each team was fruitless on the power play. 20 minutes of penalties for each team.
Kyle Turris for Ottawa, 12 penalty minutes.
He got fired up. He probably got a game misconduct at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kyle Turris traded to Ottawa from Phoenix at the time. Do you know who he was traded for?
I don't know.
Chris
Pronger?
A former Blues draft pick.
Who's that?
David Rundblad.
Ah.
David Rundblad has
been involved passed around
in so many trades for talent that it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is he in
Europe?
He
got his, though, so.
He is, yes. He's back in Sweden.
Yeah. And we've talked about how hits is a subjective number. 50 for Pittsburgh, 36 for the Senators. 50 to 36. That's insane.
Who's getting all their hits?
I don't know. I'll scroll down here real quick. And
by the way, Hockey Rob texting in to say, stop being territorial homers. Be a hockey fan above and beyond being a Blues fan. It's win-win for the entire hockey community. Win. Hashtag be the bigger person.
Wow. What's a win?
What homer thing did we say?
Territorial homers.
What is the homer thing that we said? That the Blues will not sign free agents?
That we couldn't root for Chicago if it was them versus
Montreal? I don't know. I just wanted to read that text for a reason that we'll talk about later.
Hey, you real quick. Scott Wilson credited with 10 hits.
Who?
Carter Rowney had
who?
7.
and this is what we're... The who? These are guys who have developed into useful role players after being middling draft picks. This is like if Dmitri... Dmitri Yashkin was good, right?
Yeah.
This is like if he had turned into a useful player at the bottom of the lineup that filled an important spot, then you get Carter Rowney and Scott Wilson.
He scored a goal in the playoffs.
He did. That's true. He also scored a goal in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I remember both really well.
And the defenseman we talked about, Chad Ruedel.
Ruedel.
All right, close enough. 7 hits last night. So, and then everything else was kind of spread out. Chris Kunitz with 4.
The Chad.
Yeah. Nick Medina with 2. You know, so.
I guess your memory of the 90s Charlie's Angels movie probably is not as good as mine.
I've seen both of them.
Was that the 90s?
Yeah. Like 99-ish. Maybe it was like 01. Oh, but wow. With Tom Green as the Chat.
Yeah. I remember.
When he was married to Drew Barrymore.
There's a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 1,000,000% sure I know who's on the phone, by the way, as Matt goes to answer it.
I'm gonna guess the same thing. He's whoever it is.
Is an Uber driver.
He's also calling in at 855-282-8255. Get involved with the conversation or text in, and we'll read your text as long as it's airable.
And even if it's not, we'll just go ahead and skip over the bad words.
All right. Is there anything in the text inbox yet?
Just some folks singing some songs and our buddy Abe Froman, who had texted in earlier about the digital removal conversation.
I'm guessing we can't read that on the air.
I mean, that's pretty much it. It contains the name of a co-host. Well,
you hung up the phone.
That probably was just a correction for the text inbox.
Yes.
Okay.
What was the correction?
Well, it's someone's name is not spelled correctly in the text box, and he's not happy about it.
Yes.
All right. Fair
accurate.
I don't have the text inbox in front of me.
I said it would be changed.
I'm sure it was an accidental typo. Not a big
deal. What's it say?
It says Hockey Rob.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You sometimes make that mistake on accident.
I have fat fingers.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. This is Game Time AM here in 5.9 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2, InsideSDL.com. I guess I need to repeat that. I don't know how many times an hour.
So. We don't know. I had this image in my head back in the day of there like being, and maybe this is true other places or was true back in the day, of there being like a poster on the wall, like, reset this often, identify the station, say these things. And really, the only thing on the wall in here is a sign that's curling in on itself with the Wi-Fi information and some soundproofing.
Mm-hmm. The number
We're all
have you
professionals here?
Yeah.
Have you looked lately at the number of Wi-Fi networks in this building? It's insane.
It's a lot. I mean, yeah. I mean, because I just open it up now and it just it just connects to the network. But
yeah,
I'm sure it reaches pretty much everywhere in this office park. Probably the Wi-Fi reaches pretty close to here.
Probably.
So there's 20 probably. So.
All right, so this is also a good radio bit, but did you see who was at Disney World and posted what he called a family photo?
I did not.
Brent Burns.
Ooh.
There with his two kids.
Is he with the Beast?
Chewbacca.
Okay.
He's with Chewbacca. So his daughter is wearing a Aurora Sleeping Beauty dress.
Right.
And she's doing the Macaulay Culkin Home Alone, hands on the face, kind of like, oh. And then... his son is wearing a Jedi robe and a Yoda hat with green head and ears. And then Brent Burns has the full beard going on, and he's got the Yoda head on, and Chewbacca's got his arm around him, and man, he's almost as tall as Chewbacca.
So I have two questions about this.
Yeah.
Number one, because I can't really see it. Is Brent Burns wearing teeth or not?
No teeth.
No teeth. Okay.
I was going to say, he really should be wearing teeth, because when he's not in a hockey uniform, it sticks out.
Yeah. Okay. So,
no teeth.
So no teeth. Number two, when did we start having to call Sleeping Beauty Aurora? I understand that that's her name.
Right.
But, like, I feel like that's Disney, like, being really good at pushing the marketing of the whole Disney princess thing and making everyone call her Aurora and not Sleeping Beauty.
I've lived most of my life not knowing that was her name.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that was her name, actually, till probably about 8, 9 years
ago.
Well,
and here's my thing, too. If Sleeping Beauty has a name, there's no way that Snow White's real name is Snow White. Right.
Oh,
like,
it is.
That's just a description that the dwarves gave to her because that's what she looked like when she was all frozen.
Her stepmother called her that too.
But that can't be her real name. That's got to be an insult. Like, her name is not Snow White.
That was a
she has a name.
Nickname.
Right.
Maybe.
So if we're gonna call Sleeping Beauty by her name, shouldn't we figure out what Snow White's real name is and call her by that too?
I'll do some research. The reason that Aurora was at top of mind was we were watching Maleficent Sunday night. It was on TV.
Gotcha.
They mentioned her name a couple times in that movie. So, anyway.
Text, by the way, from the 636, and I know that you did not see this, so this is probably going to be a question for me. And the question is, did you see Joel Edmondson's questionable tribute to Robbie Fabry yesterday?
No. What was his questionable tribute?
Well, they posted an Instagram picture together, because of course they did, and I believe they are splitting up for the summer. So a bunch of them have been in Vegas. I saw Magnus Payari was posting pictures from Vegas, and this picture is in front of the Aria. And it is this picture, and the caption is two strapping, and then it's the backpack emoji. So I don't really know what that means, but I guess it goes with strapping too, right?
Yeah.
Going to miss this guy this summer. Thanks, Blues fans, for another great season. And you have Eddie and Fabs both in some fashion clothing. Edmondson has gone with the full black ensemble with the torn jeans.
Both of them wearing skinny jeans.
Fabry with the denim on denim.
That's, you know what that's called?
Canadian tuxedo?
Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, he does have a white t-shirt on, but he's got the denim jacket and the denim pants.
Well, and to turn this into news, given the tightness of Robbie Fabry's pants, we can be sure he's not wearing a knee brace.
Yeah, he doesn't have crutches, right. So that's good.
Right, so that appears to be progression. But yeah, so at least those two and Agnes Pajarvi have been in Vegas recently.
I
so
did
good
see,
for them.
Was the Blues Hottie, the Blues Hotties
yeah,
Twitter
that's a
account?
Thing.
They had a photo of their private jet they took to Vegas, I think.
Which, by the way, like...
And there were a bunch of guys not wearing shirts on the plane.
That was the thing, too.
Yeah.
That's got to be donated. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Those guys are rich.
Right.
But they're not, like, private jet rich, right? Like,
if you pull your resources.
Like, I mean, I guess. And it depends. Also, I didn't see who went with them. So if they have, like, a big contract also on the plane.
Well, Petrangelo or Tarasenko's probably not on that plane.
And I don't get the impression that probably Petro was either. I think that's he's sort of a more Bacchus-ly family oriented kind of guy.
Hey Jeff, Yuri Lehterek could
buy a couple. Well, and honestly, so every once in a while you see pictures of those guys and you see like Carl Gunnarsson kind of bizarrely hanging out in the background. It does make me wonder, like, did they keep guns around because he bankrolled some of that stuff? Right, he's got the coin to get the jet, and so Carl gets to go to Vegas.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Well, before you mentioned Laterra, I was going to say Jay Bomeister's got some spare cash, I'm sure.
Yeah, but again, is that a guy who you think is getting on the private jet with Fabry and Edmondson to go party at the Aria?
No, that's why it makes it likely. You would never suspect it.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like Jay Bomeister is in a lodge in Alberta reading books. Like, I would, that would be honestly.
What's he reading?
Moby Dick? Like, wouldn't it be fun to just watch? Like, what does Jay Bomeister do when there's not hockey?
He finds a place to get a $5 haircut.
Does he, like, does he just sit at the end of his bed and stare at the wall?
Yeah. With a poster of himself.
I mean, that's
back
like,
when he was good.
That's like the old, what was it, Rogers Hornsby, who said that in the winter he just stares out the window and waits for spring. That's Jay Bomeister in the summer, right? He just doesn't know what to do with himself.
He's at the Lake Cottage.
And not because he's like the world's most driven and most amazing hockey player. He doesn't have anything else, right?
He's
got nothing else going on.
So what's the hockey competition going on right now?
The World Championships.
The world? Okay, yeah. How many Blues are in that?
Colton Parayko.
Who scored twice yesterday.
Saw
for
that.
And,
two bombs from the point of the power play.
Looked really
going,
nice.
We're all going, where the hell is that then?
Right. And then I think Sabok is playing for the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
And I believe that is it, yes.
So, Colton Parayko, and people were kind of losing it on Twitter yesterday, seeing him tee it up and get it on net and it going in the net. And
by the way, though, Jori Lehterä can't make the Finnish team at the World Championships?
Are you saying that there's a lack of Finnish depth?
I'm saying there's a lack of Jori talent.
Well, okay. Hmm. Maybe there's a lot of good Finnish players out there that we don't know about.
I mean, there aren't a lot of good players, period, playing in the World Championship. I mean, there are, like, okay, so some, as players get eliminated, do go over there. And the Russians take it seriously because the KHL is done, so they can get the best of their best from over there. But, like, the goalies for the U.S. are Chad, not Ochocinco Johnson, and then I forget who the other guy is. Like, Michael Matheson is playing D for the U.S. There's a guy playing, Chris Lee, playing D for Canada, who's been in the KHL for, like, 10 years. Like, he's a Canadian guy who could never make it. Even in the AHL, so he went to the K and has been playing there for like 10
Chad
years.
Chad Johnson is good from time to
That's
time.
True. No, he has. He actually.
Periodically.
He did have a very good year. He pushed Brian Elliott kind of throughout the year.
For a little bit.
But of all the American goalies that might be possible, not Ochocinco is the
Chad
guy who's.
Johnson, right. Not Ochocinco.
Did you know that Finland is ranked third in the world in men's hockey?
That doesn't surprise me. It seems like they medal at every Olympics, right? It seems like the Canadians and Americans knock each other out at some kind of prelim pool, and the Finns just sort of slide into the bronze medal game and end up beating, like they beat a beat-up Russian team or something. Well, I mean, the Russians did not medal in Sochi, which I know was a big embarrassing failure for that administration, at least.
Yeah, so I'm trying to look up the roster, and something came up from November, and I don't think that's the most... No, wait. They put the day before the month. It is from 5/11. All right, fair enough. So Finland's Mikko Rantanen scored against Slovenia's Gaspar Krozgi?
I don't know. That one I don't know.
Krozgi?
Slovenian I don't have.
So they beat Slovenia 5-2 a week ago. So, you know, it's...
Did you see the Italians on their way out of the World Championships?
They had an own goal at the end of the game.
They had quite an own goal at the end of the game.
What did they do?
They had pulled the goalie, and they had a D-to-D pass, and the defenseman catches the puck. He's left-handed defenseman, so he catches the puck on the forehand and goes to cross under to move the puck up ice and trips over his own skates and then just rolls the puck into his own net. Like, just an unbelievable metaphor for how bad Italian hockey is.
That's suboptimal. Aho, what's his first name?
Sebastian.
Right? Sebastian Aho. Villimata Savanian and Mikko Rantanen chipped in goals as well.
I wonder if that's Olimata's brother or something.
Villimata Savanian.
So is Mata Savanian like a hyphenated name or is it one
name? His first name is hyphenated.
Oh, okay. So Villimata is the hyphenated first name.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of names over there.
Yeah. I'm not going to
try to say anymore. A lot of vowels, a lot of umlauts.
Yeah, so, yeah, like you said, it's the World Championships, they take place during the playoffs in the NHL, and it's not the, I don't know, they have it on NHL Network, I think, and you can try to catch some games and stuff, and some people try to put a little bit of...
Well, and also they're in France, and so like it's a weird time, like they're playing right now. Actually, yeah. I think there might actually be a game. I think maybe Slovakia and Sweden are playing right now.
So, you know, turn your radio off and go watch... watch that game. AP news alert. Russian foreign minister spokeswoman denies report that Trump revealed classified information to senior officials.
Of course they did. I don't even know what to talk about with that.
We're not going to talk about it. I just wanted to mention this AP news alert saying that. I think it's cool that my phone gets AP news alerts.
It is unbelievable.
That how, you can get AP news
it is unbelievable how carefully McMaster crafted that statement yesterday and then did not take questions.
All right, so you're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan. We are not conspiracy theorists, and we're not...
That's not a conspiracy theory. That's the first sign that there has been professional communications advice given to this White House in 5 months.
That's actually pretty accurate. All right, so let's delve into free agency. So... kicks off on July 1st, as usual, I would assume, right?
Yes. Though there is a preceding week where the Knights have exclusive rights to talk to free agents.
So I have the list here, and it's the list is sorted by salary cap number right now. So, like, Joe Thornton is the number one guy. His current salary cap hit is $6.75 million a year. He is age 37 currently.
And he has one knee.
And he has one knee and scored 50 points this past season. His teammate, Patrick Marleau, his cap hit number is 6.66666666. Throw 7 in there. He is age 37, will be a free agent. Then Ryan Miller, age 36, and his $6 million cap hit is third on the list. Man.
That's there's going to be a revolving door for goalies that's going to be really interesting to see where it stops. Like, Ryan Miller had a good season this last year. His career, like, he was already sort of on the downward slope, I think, of his career when he was traded to St. Louis. He was never quite going to be the goalie he was when he was 28, 29. But that got notice around the league and I think pretty well buried him in the eyes of a lot of people.
Games played 54. His record, 18, 29, and 3.
Well, the Canucks were terrible.
3 shutouts. Goals against 2.80. Save percentage, though, 91.4.
So, I mean, you know, it was fine. Look, he got paid $6 million for that, which is probably a little heavy.
A little.
But for a veteran goaltender, he still has some usefulness. And actually, as we talk here, I have to go look at one particular team's contract situation in net because I do think that there might be a fit for him the team that I'm thinking of makes sense.
Let me go down the list here real quick. So, Ryan Miller, Patrick Sharp. Age 35, Andrei Markov, age 38, defenseman from Montreal. Also from Montreal, Alexander Radulov, who's 30. He had 18 goals, 36 assists, 54 points.
7 points in five playoff games.
Yeah.
7 points.
Jerome Iginla, 39. He's going to be a free agent. Dennis Weidman. Do you know how old Dennis Weidman is?
He's probably every bit of 35.
34.
Okay. Mm.
That makes me feel old.
He's going to be done.
Yeah.
He's not
going
to get it.
And he's still getting sued for $10 million.
Like, setting aside the talent, which is questionable, no foot speed, he, I think, is going to fall into that pariah category where no one's going to go near
What's
him.
What's that about?
He took out the linesman.
Yeah. He got hit behind the play, right. Claimed he was concussed, so concussed that he couldn't control himself, and then plowed through a linesman who broke vertebrae in his back and hasn't worked since. I mean, look.
Maybe.
So the NHL suspended him for 20 games. He appealed that suspension. He served the whole suspension, but on appeal it was reduced to 10 games, and so basically the Flames had to back pay him for the 10 games that he missed.
So the linesman filed a lawsuit. The linesman has not been back since.
The linesman has post-concussion syndrome. The linesman has some fractured vertebrae. I mean, he was pretty banged up. Don Henderson was the linesman.
Oh, wow. And, I know that name.
Yeah.
Mark Street is the ninth ranked unrestricted free agent this summer based on salary cap. You know, he's number 10
too, isn't he? Is anybody old?
Oh, yeah, Mark Street's probably 38, 39. I mean,
39.
He's old, yeah.
39. There's a guy who's 42 on the list. He plays defense. Well, he
hold on.
Quote unquote plays defense.
Christopher Cross Pronger.
Chris Pronger.
He's only 42.
He's 42. He had zero games played,
and he has a business card that says NHL Vice President on it.
His salary this year was $575,000.
That's his cap number was 575.
No,
oh,
his salary is $575,000.
But his cap number was like 7.5 or something.
4.9.
Okay.
Yeah, 4.9 for the cap hit for Chris Pronger. What's funny is the next two guys also had zero games played. RJ Umberger, he had zero games played. Brooks Light. He had zero games played. They were all above. They each made more than $4 million. And cap hits north of $4 million.
Are they injured also?
So Light was just buried in the AHL because he's not good enough to justify his salary. Umberger has concussion problems.
Okay.
He was injured the whole year. Did you see the list that the NHL published of the injured players who are exempt from expansion draft protection? I have 12 exact. But basically,
like
the
players?
NHL published a list of guys that were like, we understand that these players have active no-movement deals, but they can't ever play again, so you don't have...
You don't have to protect them.
Right, we just pretend they don't exist. Like, so, for example, Craig Cunningham was on the list because Craig Cunningham has a contract through next season.
Nathan Horton
is on the list. David Clarkson might have been on the list, actually.
I believe so.
Ryan Klo, who is an assistant coach with the Devils, but still has a no-movement contract, is on the list.
Oh, man. NHL general managers are the best.
Yeah, pretty good.
I mean, if you can get a guy to sign you to a contract, man, you're set. anyway, you have to get down, you know, Drew Stafford, Mike Fisher is a free agent, Drew Stafford, Dmitry Kulikov. He's like the youngest guy on the list, 26 years old, a defenseman. Kevin Shattenkirk's 28 currently. Defenseman that you might have heard of. He had 56 points this season. Brian Gionta, that dude's 38 now. TJ Oshie, age 30. Jonathan Bernier, the goaltender, he is 28.
And there, by the way, is where Ryan Miller fits in.
Steve Mason is 28 and will be an unrestricted free agent. Mark Savard, there's another guy, zero games played, made $575,000 this year, cap hit $4
million. Yep. Here is the list, by the way, that list that I was talking about. So, Dave Boland, Craig Cunningham, Chris Pronger, the first three names, all Coyotes, by the way, ostensibly.
Yeah, salary cap floor.
Yeah, Cody McCormick, David Clarkson, Johan Franzen, still has a no-movement contract in Detroit, Joe Vitale, Ryan Klo, Mikhail Grabowski, Pascal Dupuis, Nathan Horton, and Stefan Robida. So a couple Leafs, a couple Coyotes.
There's a couple more guys who didn't play this year. Pascal Dupuis, he's officially retired. He had a contract this year.
Yeah, he's got a heart murmur thing.
Ladislav Smead, Rob Scuderi, he played zero games this year. Andrew Ferentz, he played zero games.
Smead was the guy who was buried in the AHL because of the contract.
Zbigniew Mikhalik, three games this year. Jared Cowan?
Yeah.
He had zero games played.
Well, and he also...
Robida.
Jared Cowan was the subject of... Jared Cowan was bought out, and there was a whole thing there because when he... essentially what happened, if a player is injured, they can't be bought out of their contract. So Cowan was traded from Ottawa to Toronto last year at the trade deadline because he had a unique contract structure where actually if you bought him out this year, the Leafs actually received a cap credit for buying him out. I forget exactly how the math works, but basically based on his age and the amount of money due to him, when you broke down the buyout, they actually received like $600,000 in cap space for this year by buying out Cowan. So they acquire him, they declare we're going to buy him out, and in the interim period between when buyouts were not and then were allowed, Cowan went and had an elective surgery, So when buyout time happened, he said, I'm hurt. You can't buy me out. Pay me my full contract. And it had arbitrated, and in the end, the arbitrator ruled for the Leafs.
I mentioned that general managers make interesting decisions. Oh, Brandon Bolick, St. Charles native, 30 years old, did not play. Is he in the NHL?
He's in the minors. Not yet. Yeah. I'm guessing he was in Abbotsford Heat this season.
He made $1.3 million this year not to play in the NHL.
Yeah, but he lived at Abbotsford.
Yeah.
Which isn't worse than St. Charles, I guess.
Here's a blast, a name from the past. Rito Barra.
Yeah.
He is now 30 years old. He played in 7 games this year. His goals against average, 3.45.
Well, he's not very good.
Save percentage, 876.
The Avalanche once traded like 2 second round picks for Rito Barra.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Do you know what team he's on right now?
Florida.
He is. Do you know how much he makes?
Probably like 3.5.
No, half that, 1.5.
Okay.
But still, 1.5 to post a 3.45. Holy cow. General managers are the best.
$1.5 million?
$1.5 million.
No way. How did he ever get that contract?
Because he was a young and exciting goaltender, and he was going to be the next big thing for the Avalanche, and then he was terrible.
Okay. He's 30.
Text from Carl Carlson asking, how the hell long is Mark Savard's contract? Hasn't he not played in like 10 years?
It feels like it.
I believe he last played, it was either 2011 or 2013 when the Bruins were in the finals, because they won the Cup in 2011, and they lost to the Blackhawks in 2013.
What roster is Mark Savard on?
Boston.
No.
No, Florida.
New Jersey
Devils. New Jersey, okay. That's right. His deal is another one that's gotten passed around. So I think Mark Savard signed, like, the year he was injured and permanently disabled, I believe Mark Savard signed, like, an 8-year extension with Boston, like, in that same year.
So his cap hit has been consistently $4,021,000.
How many years does he have left?
He's an unrestricted free agent.
He's a UFA this year. Okay.
So, but... since 2010-11, as far as this list goes back, he's had the same.
I think he signed the extension in 2011 and then was hurt that same season.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's making $5 million a year basically, up until his numbers started going down. So yeah, he hasn't played his last season that he accumulated any stats. He played 25 games in the 2010-2011 season.
Yep.
Yeah, that's been a long time.
It's been 6 years.
Hey, if you can sign an NHL contract, it pays off for sure.
This is a huge difference between the NHL and, for example, the NFL.
Well, the NFL's the only one that doesn't have a
guaranteed contract. Right, I'm saying, but the deals are guaranteed. You put pen to paper and you're getting paid.
Baseball, basketball, hockey.
Unless you break the law or do something else that voids the terms of your deal,
yeah,
you're getting paid.
Unless you hire someone to kill your agent. So
yeah.
You said that there was a guy on the list that you were interested in for the Blues. Both of you guys did.
Yes. I didn't hear you say his name.
Okay, who?
Justin Williams.
Justin Williams is on the list. He's not making a ton of money. Let me see.
3.5.
So, I didn't get down to him. So, he's 39th. So, of the players making that are unrestricted free agents this summer, he is the 39th most expensive under current contracts. He's 35 years old. 80 games played, 24 goals, 24 assists. That's 24 plus 24 is 48.
It is.
14 plus minus. He's plus 14. Played an average of 15.5 minutes a game this season.
Look, I'm willing to also accept that I am overrating the playoff moxie thing here, right?
And you did see him in person several times in Washington.
And that to me makes him interesting because he's on a line for most of the year with my buddy Kuznetsov and Andrei Burakovsky. And those are two very fast players, and Williams is able to keep up with the pace of that line and generate offense and be an effective player. He was very useful on the power play. Like, you know, we talked this year about David Perron filling in that Troy Brouwer slot in the lineup. Justin Williams is an upgrade on Troy Brouwer and plays a similar sort of game where you get good second line offense. He's a proven playoff performer. He's definitely one of those glue guys in the room right now.
Glue guys.
You know, does he want to come here to a team that is arguably not on the precipice of winning the Stanley Cup?
I think the question is he that player on the St. Louis Blues team? He is on Washington.
Right.
Is he with the Blues?
I don't know why he wouldn't be, because that was the role he filled in Los Angeles as well. Like he was that guy. You put him on a line with, I don't know, Fabry and Barbashev, right? That's a line that to me looked interesting. Fabry on the left wing, Barbashev down the middle, and Williams on right wing.
Did you ever say that he's who's the center, Kuznetsov? What's his first name?
Evgeny.
Do you ever say Evgeny skating his Kuznetsov?
Well, every once in a while. There is a gentleman who walks around Verizon Center with a Kuznetsov jersey, but the nameplate says Kuznetsov. Yeah.
That's like I was enjoyed.
And it's like a burly middle aged gentleman too, like not a guy that you would expect to see in a Kuznetsov jersey.
Why do you think
burly
of that,
gentleman?
And then go get that on a jersey.
You want to be different?
I don't.
People look at me.
People do a lot of things in jerseys I don't really understand. So there was another interesting text. We're talking free agents from Abe Froman, texting to say, seriously asking, heard a rumor that TJ is seriously interested in the STL, drinking bleach. We'll hang up and listen.
That's fine.
I don't see it.
The STL should not be showing any interest in him.
Well, I mean, look, I he's a very good player. Like, I would have no problem having him on this team as a guy who can score some goals.
Is he with this Blues team?
The numbers are similar. He's a 55-60-point guy. The numbers are pretty consistent.
Okay, but there's a difference between, did he ever hit 20 goals with the Blues, and now he's
almost
a 30-goal scorer.
But he wasn't,
almost.
He also wasn't that healthy when he played with the Blues. He missed a bunch of games pretty much every year.
Here's the deal. I would totally sign TJ Oshie as long as he packed in his bags Nicklas Backstrom.
He did, by the way. He had one 20-goal season with the Blues in 13-14.
Okay.
I don't think he can pack his
19 twice.
If he can pack Backstrom in his suitcase from Washington, yeah, totally sign him.
Right.
If he's not bringing Backstrom with him, which he's not.
Yeah, if he's playing next to Patrick Berglund, you're probably not getting the same player. And by the way.
And I wouldn't be watching much hockey, I don't think, in that situation.
Signing TJ Oshie would be
horrible,
enough to turn you off, really?
I think so.
It's surprising.
Because that means we've gone nowhere.
It would be frustrating to get that.
We've got the same roster we had 5 years ago. Yeah.
Matt Davis, your hockey fandom lived through the Patrick Berglund contract extension signing.
I don't know that it's alive. It's waning.
Really?
Well, and look, frankly.
What was you want to talk about movies instead?
No. Stop it, Brad. Come on.
Let's rewind. TJ Oshie is not
signing. Had a flashback. It was horrible.
TJ Oshie is not signing in St. Louis.
No.
He is not coming back here as long.
We can't afford him as things stand, and we can't clear up roster space.
He's not playing for Doug Armstrong. That's not going to happen. No. Like, I don't pretend to be a guy who knows a lot of things, but I can tell you right now that TJ Oshie is not playing for Doug Armstrong.
Is anybody playing for Doug Armstrong, though?
I mean, the team is playing for Doug Armstrong. They do. He's on the road. They see him. Believe me when I tell you that they feel the effect of Doug Armstrong being around the team. And TJ,
they'd be distracted with things like hockey and stuff on their own level.
But everything, look, a job is a job. And if a manager makes things difficult and harder to get through, then that is what it is. And I'm telling you, TJ Oshie is not coming here as long as Doug Armstrong is here.
I think if you look at the
loyalty,
there are personality things that make that not a fit. And similarly, I saw our buddy Pat Iverson he's a Dallas Stars fan, and he was going through people that his Dallas Stars might be interested in, and he goes, man, Oshie would be an interesting fit. And I said, not in a million billion years is TJ Oshie signing in Dallas with Hitch there.
And even if Hitchcock were to say, hey, let's mend fences, TJ Oshie probably just flips in the bird and keeps going.
At one point, Pat was like, well, you know, you don't know what his relationship was like with Hitchcock.
Not to me,
just in general, right? And I tweeted at him. I was like, here are some links to some things that will illuminate what the relationship was like.
Here is the dumpster fire that was the
relationship. Honestly, if you Google TJ Oshie Ken Hitchcock as a phrase, the timeline of articles that is produced in that Google search is honestly amazing. It's like a half dozen just over the course of that last month in 2015, a half dozen Rutherford bylines that are all like, Oshie says this. Oshie says this. Team has no comment. Oshie unhappy. Oshie traded to Washington.
So
it's just a very clear line.
Was it a situation of Oshie just stepped up on his own to make statements and say things, or is it a situation where he picked the short straw and he's the one that had to take everybody else's
is that he prefers a coaching / management style that does not interfere with his ability to go be Osh babe. And the structure that was imposed
Define Osh babe.
The guy who dresses up like Pongo from 101 Dalmatians and has his wife lead him behind a dog leash. Right? He's an energetic guy, and he's an individual, and the guy who gets loaded and then gives an interview while he's half drunk at a no-deck game, the guy who pees in the elevator, right? That's
That's the younger guy. He's got two kids. He's got a wife now.
That's true. He's not maybe he's not that guy anymore, but he still has that streak.
Right.
About him that I think
it's still there at the core.
It just doesn't necessarily mesh with the things that Hitch was definitely doing and the hits that I think aren't the things that Army is still.
Let's just cover one thing here real quick. So you're going to Instagram and looking at pictures of Blues players flying to Vegas on a private plane shirtless.
Right.
And then them palling around Vegas.
I'm not criticizing TJ Osu for wanting to be himself.
No. But I'm talking about culture on the Blues right now. So there is a younger group of guys who like to go out and have a good time.
Sure.
And, you know, there's some other guys. Ryan Reeves is in a lot of those pictures. Scotty Upshaw is definitely a ringleader in all those activities.
You see Pearvey and Berglund, Bortuzzo.
There were pictures of them going to the Lumineers concert and other things. And then when they got close to the end of the season and during the playoffs, there really wasn't a lot of activity on the Instagrams.
Now, part of that, I think, is, well, okay, so there's two. There. This is a multi-level thing. Part of it is, I'm sure, direction from the team being like, let's wind this down because we don't want to send the wrong message during playoff time.
Absolutely.
And part of it also, I think, is that is indicative, perhaps, of the level of control that some parts of the organization want to exert over some of those players.
Hey, you guys stop partying. Let's be serious about hockey now.
Yeah, some of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that's conducive to a guy like, that was Daddy-Osh.
I mean,
it's Papa Osh.
I don't work.
I like Baby Osh.
I don't work at Roxy's, so I'm not going to call him Daddy Osh. But
Osh Babe.
Ovi calls him Osh Babe. So,
Osh Babe.
Yeah.
Oh, is that where that comes from?
I don't know if that's where it comes from, but I know that that's what Ovechkin calls him.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably where it comes from.
Man, could you imagine, though, you're playing on a line with Backstrom and Ovechkin, and granted, it became the third line in the playoffs.
Right.
Or at least wherever Ovechkin was, they kind of split him up a couple
times. Well, what line was he on when he left here? Wasn't he playing with Berglund and Sobotka or something?
It was Backus and Steen for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, can you imagine, though, you're fielding offers from teams, you're like, okay, how do you think you'd use me? Like, well, Buffalo, we could put you next to Jack Eichel, or, you know, we could put you on the second line with who? Well, these guys, oh, man. I mean, you look at some of the places he would be used around the league, and you're like, man.
It's hard to find a better spot than next to Backstrom and Ovechkin.
Yeah.
It's just, it's going to be hard to find
the money.
You're
going from a fine steakhouse to Applebee's.
And thank you, 636 Texter, for texting in the picture of Congo Oshi.
All fours, yeah. Yep. All right, so this has been the first hour. We've talked an hour about hockey when the Blues aren't playing, and, you know, this is our baby thing. And baby poop. Anyway, all right, come back for the next hour. We'll talk more stuff. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about during the break. So this has been Game Time AM here in 590 Fan. Come back for the second hour.